Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Wherever you are, however you're listening, and whenever you're listening, we're glad you're here. I'm glad Bill Dunkelberg's here, too, because otherwise this wouldn't be nearly as much fun. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Glad to be here. Finally to see you.
Can you believe it? After all these years, we've been doing this now for over 4 years. You've been on a regular guest on the show, and this is the first time we've actually met, and it's good to have you here. Thanks for coming back. I know you made an effort to come back down here, and I appreciate that.
I did.
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure to come down to Washington and see how my tax dollars are being spent.
Well, Bill, it's fun to be here and with you. And folks, we're at the J.W. Marriott Hotel in our nation's capital, and we're helping the NFIB celebrate their 2004 Small Business Summit, their biannual summit, and got lots of folks, lots of small business owners buzzing around here, excited to learn new things about what's going on. But what Bill and I are going to do is something we do here every month, and that's talk about the most recent survey that you've been conducting now for over 30 years, started when you were only six.
You had to say that, right?
And, you know, we just got through talking to Bruce Phillips, as you know. You know Bruce.
I do.
You've known him a long time. And Bruce is did a survey of their quadrennial survey, I guess you could call it, of what keeps people up at night. And some of them overlap some of the things that you typically see every month, don't they?
Oh, sure. And, you know, the problems and priorities study we do like every 5 years or something like that, just to see how things are going. But in our monthly survey, which we mail out to a random sample of our 600,000-plus members, we always ask the same kind of question: what's the most important problem facing your business today? We don't give 120 choices like we do or whatever that number is,
right,
in the problems and priorities. But we give them 10 choices, and we give them a fill-in-the-blank, which periodically helps us pick things up, like, for example, the resurgence in the importance of the cost and availability of insurance,
right,
which came from kind of nowhere with the fill-in-the-blank, and, of course, now is our number one vote-getter as the top business problem.
Right, absolutely, and it's understandable. I mean, I was talking to Bruce. They haven't done this. You guys haven't done this one, particular one, since 2000, and that's it's been since then that the health insurance has gone through the roof.
Well, it's gone through the roof. It like doubled or tripled in terms of the number of votes, the rankings that it got.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been at the top of the list for, you know, a decade.
Right.
So it's been there, but obviously it's become much more of a concern, or maybe we could say other things have become less of a concern, which might be a positive way to look at it.
But, well, you know, I think that's probably a good way to look at it, because as I said to Bruce, you know, he mentioned cash flow was was number seven on the list, and I said, I bet if you were taking that poll now, fuel would be even more dramatic, would be higher on the list, petroleum and gasoline. And cash flow, I believe, in sitting here in June, a concern than it was in January.
I think you're absolutely right. We have cash flow, of course, affected by very many things, but what we do know is the economy is doing a lot better. And as we economists look at what's going on from the GDP, the gross domestic product, the national income accounts, cash flow is at a record high percentage of GDP now for American companies. So you'd expect cash flow to drift down, and we've got a lot of cash. Banks are complaining that people are paying off loans instead of taking them out. And so that's likely to, you know, to be the case for on the cash flow side.
Right.
Energy costs obviously are relatively high these days, and so if we took the poll right now today, I think it was like 11th in the list or somewhere in there. I think it would probably rise a little bit more. And of course, back in the early days, it was our top problem in the early 70s, and then it disappeared from the problem list and was replaced by, actually, the way we do the study, we replaced it with the insurance question.
Don't you think that it's going to be high on the list for a long time now to come?
Energy?
Yeah.
You know, it could be.
Don't you think we're in for $2 a gallon gas from as far as the eye can see?
Well, it depends on how far your eyes can see.
Years. Years.
And, you know, it really all depends on how long the U.S. economy and China stay strong.
Yeah.
Right? Here's the deal. We found what I characterize as the Jed Clampett oil a long time ago, the easy stuff. And, of course, a lot of the easy stuff was in the Middle East, and it doesn't cost them very much to lift a barrel of oil, maybe
right.
50 cents or a dollar to lift a barrel. But if the point is we've had no significant fines for a long time.
Yeah.
In the meantime, economies have doubled and undeveloped economies have developed. And so when you develop, you need oil, and you use oil. So China now makes 5 million cars and sells them all internally, and they still import cars. I mean,
right.
So they're getting... So that's really what's happening.
China needs to start finding their own oil is what needs to start happening.
That would be handy, wouldn't it?
Stand by, Bill. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we will be right back.
Up in the morning and the light has hurt your head. The first thing you do when you get up out of bed is hit that street surrounding and try to meet the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Bill Dunkelberg, who's chief economist for the NFIB. And as you know, I'm with the NFIB this week, today and tomorrow, for their biannual summit at the J.W. Marriott Hotel in our nation's capital. And we're talking about the survey that Bill does every month. And Bill, one of the things that popped up on the top of your list this time was something that we haven't seen for a while, inflation.
Inflation.
Yeah.
Well, not too many people. Well, I guess we could say it's increased in relative importance for years now, of course. The inflation has not been an issue at all. And our most important problem question, only 1% or 2% say that inflation's a problem for them, which means they're dealing with some cost problem they don't like.
Right.
But, of course, back in the early 1970s, inflation is the all-time 30-year vote-getter. 42% said that was the most important problem facing their business. Now, when that happens, you know somebody down here in Washington is making bad mistakes. In fact, I think a lot of the economic cycles that we experienced in the 60s and 70s especially, and into in the early 1980s, were caused by mistakes made here. When government makes a mistake, it's so big, you know, it really costs us. So they were trying to fine-tune the economy and impossibility, and they screwed things up, and that was difficult. So we went from 42% down to, with Volcker being appointed in 79, and down to 2%. But now it's at 6%, so I guess you could say it's triple.
Is that where inflation is right now?
6% said
so
inflation. We've gone from 2 to 6. And that's...
But now inflation itself is still, what, 1.5%?
No, inflation looks pretty bad now. The first 3 months of this year, inflation is running at a 5.5% annual rate based on the CPI.
So your term... The inflation picture continues to worsen. It's not hyperbole.
No, it's not hyperbole. It's really ramped up, and it started at the end of last year. The trailing 12 months, if you look at the last 12 months, inflation's 1.7%. So it was even lower for the 12 months of last year if you leave out the first 3 months. So trailing 12 months, 1.7%. Trailing 3 months, 5.5%.
Yeah.
And really no relief in sight here.
But
part of that is energy.
I was going to say, don't we need to pull fuel out just to be able to check the other things?
And agriculture. We'll take food and energy out. That's called the core CPI.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, 59% of our ag firms said they raised prices last month.
Right.
Well, good for them, I guess.
There's been a lot of pent-up pricing power out there, hasn't there?
Well, there's a lot of people like to raise. We always like to raise prices if we can. The question
well, they,
is, can
we need
you?
Small business owners needed to raise prices.
They
a little
did.
Bit.
A little bit wouldn't hurt.
We needed a little more on the bottom line there, Bill. Come on, work with us.
But on the core is also double from last year. So we're looking at like three, I'm not going to get the number quite right, but around 3-point-something, some low number, percent. Versus 1.2, 1.3% on the core. So the core rate is double as well. So as I'm fond of saying, it's not just gas stations raising prices. In fact, gas stations are now cutting prices. So we really do have inflation picking up. The question that the Fed has to deal with, and it's a tough question, is this like a relief rally in prices?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for years we couldn't raise prices at all. Or is this a more structural problem
that the
Fed really has to deal with? And of course, we'll never know until 5 years from now.
Well, I'm gonna put my money what do you call it? Was the relief?
The relief rally.
Right, the relief rally.
Temporary deal.
I'm gonna put my money on that. With the caveat well, actually, I probably am contradicting myself since I'm thinking that petroleum is going to stay high because, as you know, as we all know, petroleum is the, you know, fuel, crude oil is the oxygen of the marketplace.
Well, it's certainly important, although we use half as much oil today to make a dollar of GDP as we did 30 years ago. I mean,
but how many things do we touch today that aren't impacted by fuel?
You know, lots of it, and or just oil. I mean, oil products, mm-hmm. plastics, all mm-hmm. these. So oil is still very important, although less important as an energy source than it used to be. But again, when you talk about inflation, if you're right, you could be right, $2 oil as far as the eye can see.
Yeah.
But if it stays at $2 and go anywhere, then
right.
you don't have any inflation because
right.
inflation
right.
is defined as an increase in the average price level.
Right.
And
so my idea about it being a relief rally, I could be right about
you
that.
Could
right?
be.
Who knows?
I think you're right.
Because you know about even a stop clock is right twice a day.
That's right. That's right. I think you're probably right. I think... you know, there's a lot of competition now out there in the world, not just in the United States, where we're very competitive, especially small business. And it's competition that really keeps the control of prices. And so I think that'll happen. The only way we can get persistent inflation, history proves it, is if the Fed, you know, essentially prints too much money.
Right.
If money grows faster than output, than physical output, average prices have to rise. So the
right.
Fed knows that, and they know how to manage that. And I think we all have great confidence in Alan Greenspan and the Board of Governors and the Federal Open Market Committee. They understand this, and they'll keep things right.
Which I was going to talk about them a little bit later, but while we're on that topic, they're meeting week after next.
Yeah, 28th, I
28th.
Think, or something.
And what do you think they're going to do? Now, you know what my prediction is, right?
Your prediction is they'll raise...
This is the time that they will raise all year. This is it. They'll do it this month and not after that.
Okay, well, that's an interesting prediction.
I did this in January, by
you
the
know,
way.
I am, back in January, I was very much of a mind that they would not raise rates until after the election, since mm-hmm. they prefer not to if they don't have
right.
to. Because then no matter what happens, somebody will blame them. Either the Republicans will say you raised it and hurt us, or the Democrats will say you didn't and
mm-hmm.
should have, or I mean you can't do anything right. But if you do change it, somebody's going to complain. But the inflation picked up so quickly, as
right.
we just discussed.
Right.
They have signaled very clearly that they're going to raise rates starting in June. Mm-hmm. But I think you'll now see a quarter point for every meeting.
Really?
Yeah, we'll start moving.
Wow.
That seems to be the sense of the market. The markets even has a high probability, not real high, but that we'll get 50 basis points at the first meeting. But I don't think that'll happen because that'll scare people.
No.
To say, oh no,
that's
the
right.
Fed's.
Well, if you're right, especially if you're right, and they're going to do it multiple times this year, I think you're right about the quarter point. But if I'm right about that it'll be the one time, then they might go for a half, and then everybody will settle down in a month or so. But we will see what we will see. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk about some other things the small business owners told Bill Dunkelberg and his survey this month. This is for the month of May, by the way. We're going to talk about are they hiring and are they spending, are they buying capital items? When we come back after these messages, Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. He's chief economist with the National Federation of Independent Business. It's 10 Till. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and I got to just say thank you to the bees humming around the little beehive here inside the media room for doing a pretty good job of staying quiet, and I appreciate that. We're sitting in front of Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, and all the years we've done this show with Bill, this is the first time we've gotten to do it across from each other, and it's a lot of fun. He's actually more handsome in person than his picture, and...
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Your mother thanks me, right?
Yeah, she does. Bless her heart.
We're talking about the small business economic trends, the survey that Bill does. He's the chief economist with the NFIB. He's also a professor of economics at Temple University in Philadelphia. And Bill, what about hiring? What are small business owners telling you about their labor plans?
Well, hiring looks really good right now. We have a net 13% of our owners who plan to expand employment. That means create new jobs.
Right.
About half of them are hiring. That's but most of that's, of course, replacement hiring.
Right.
And that's a very good number. It's as high as it ever got during the 1980s when we had a 21 million job expansion.
Right.
So it's a very good number. It's weak compared to the late 1990s crazy period when we got up mm-hmm. to 22%. And of course, that was when
we suspended the laws of economics, wasn't it?
We certainly suspended the laws of common sense during that period. But it is interesting to note that the job openings number also hit a record 35%. So we wanted to hire a lot of people like everybody did, but obviously we couldn't since the job openings number was 10 points higher than it ever got in the 1980s. So we had 25% at the best time in the 1980s saying they had a job opening that was hard to fill, 35% in the late 1990s and 2000. So it was a little crazy, although we did, you know, run the employment population ratio up to a record 64.5% in 2000.
Yeah.
We hired lots of people. I just published a paper. It'll come out in July, I think in Business Economics, which estimates that we had 2.5 million people more on the payrolls in 2000 than we needed based on the GDP we were actually producing. So we were very optimistic.
Right.
We thought this thing was going to go on forever. We were crazy. And then suddenly, of course, the economy in the second half of 2000 downshifted dramatically, 1% growth instead of 4.
Well, and even in those days, now see, I haven't heard that number. That's an important number, that 2.4 million that shouldn't have been employed.
Right.
We only had, what, 4.3% unemployment?
Oh, we got down to 3.9.
Was it 3.9?
For 1 month.
But I remember Bob Mateer said, you know, we have full employment in America.
We did.
And even then, when it was really overemployed, it was still only around 4%.
Yeah, 4% is about as low as you can ever go.
So, folks, we're sitting here now, what, at 5?
We're sitting at 5.6, which
is one
of the best you've seen since, you know, this 1975. I mean, most years since 1975, we would love to have had 5.6.
Right, no kidding. What about capital spending? That's been the thing that drug the economy down in the fourth quarter of 2000, and it really hurt the economy over 3 years. For a lot of different reasons. Is that coming back now?
That's right. That's what, in 2000, we suddenly realized that we were building, you know, nobody would use all the
fiber
optic cable,
and everything.
We had all that stuff. So there was a major downshift in capital spending, and that did kind of presage the recessionary period and started in 2001. And no surprise, we just built too much capital.
Yeah.
And so you have to wait for demand to catch up to it, and it finally has. If you look at the national income accounts now, the GDP numbers, since I think the third quarter, we've had investment spending, which includes, of course, plant and equipment, housing, and changes in business inventories. That's investment. That's been growing at a 10% plus annual rate, and it looks like it'll stay there all year. Shows up on our survey. We don't have crazy numbers like we had in the late 2000 when everybody was putting their late 1990s. But we have about two-thirds of our people telling us they've made capital outlays in the last 6 months, and about a third of them plan to make them, which is a solid number.
Well, that's good news, and of course, even people who didn't like Mr. Bush's tax cuts are attributing a lot of that to the tax cuts.
Now, the tax cuts certainly helped. I mean, what we know is that in big firms and small firms tend to make capital outlays more frequently when profits are good.
Right.
And right now, our profit measure says we're doing the best in terms of profit growth since since the early 1980s. So we've got the money and we're spending it. And
when you think about the 3 years we've just come through, companies have learned how to work more efficiently. And now that the economy is coming back, don't you think that bodes well for a long-term expansion?
Well, all the numbers that we have suggest that we're set, you know, for the next 4 or 5 or 6 years. That is another repeat of the 1980s expansion or the 1990s expansion.
Right.
Those nice long expansions. As long as somebody doesn't goof down here in Washington, you know, we should have it.
And I'm going to count on you to take care of that for us, Bill, while you're here. Go ahead and take care of that this week for us, if you don't mind.
I'll work on it.
Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, thanks, Bill. It's good to do this with you face-to-face.
My pleasure.
Bill Dunkelberg, folks, he's the chief economist for the NFIB, and he'll be back next month. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back in a few minutes with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We'll go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.